Tov, everybody, and welcome to Parashat Vayigash. What does it mean to be human? This is not a question that we often think about, at least it's not a question that I often think about. And I recently saw a video on CNN, I don't know if you've seen it, of the Pope being grabbed by a devout Catholic woman outside the Vatican. And losing his patience eventually after her grabbing him for a few seconds, he swatted at her arm to set him free from her grip. And the video became a worldwide hit. The Pope eventually apologized, saying he lost his cool. And even the Pope, it seems, is human. Well, these past couple of weeks, I had the privilege of pondering the question of what it really means to be a human being. And all this happened while I was listening to the audiobook version of a book that you have probably heard of. It's a book I've really been meaning to read for quite a few years now. It's called Tuesdays with Maury. Now, even though many of you have probably heard of this book before, I'll just give you a refresher. Of course, this book is part of a lot of school curricula because of its popularity until this very day. And yes, this is a work of nonfiction. So it begins with a man named Mitch Albom. And he tells the story of another man named Maury Schwartz, his college sociology professor from a couple decades earlier. Mitch remembers that Maury was more than just a professor to him. He actually served the role of a father to his son. But Mitch lost touch with Maury over the years, and it wasn't until he saw him doing television interviews that he remembered the impact that his old professor had on his life way back when. And tragically, when he rediscovered his professor, Maury had just been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, also known as ALS, a disease that gave Maury only a few months to live. Mitch eventually reunited with Maury, and for 14 Tuesdays, the two men met to discuss the biggest questions, all part of what Mitch calls his last class with his old professor. And of all the discussions that the two men had with regards to what it means to be human, these ideas really struck me the most. First of all, to be human means to invest in our relationships with others, especially in our relationship with our family. There is no substitute for family. In the words of a popular author that Maury continually loved to quote, "Love each other or perish." And secondly, at the core of achieving inner peace is the concept of forgiveness. Not just forgiveness of others, but forgiveness of ourselves as well. And remarkably, I see these exact same concepts at the heart of the Yosef saga, especially in Parashat Vayigash. We all know that after a harrowing experience of being sold into slavery and sentenced to jail, Yosef finds himself reunited with his brothers. Destiny had it that way. Now, Yosef could have very easily chosen to simply get his revenge on these men, or he could have chosen to remain in disguise and never see them again. But that's not who Yosef is. It took a man of impeccable character. Can you imagine that? The kind of character that one builds only after going through the toughest of challenges to be able to do what most would never be able to do at this stage. He was able to reinvest in family and reinvest in relationships. It took somebody really out of the ordinary beaten path to do what Yosef was able to do. And there's a surprising pirush from Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun from Gush Etzion that sheds further light on all of this. He asked the question that many of us have been asking for years. How could Yosef, during his years as viceroy or second in command to Pharaoh, not inform his father that he's still alive? What kind of a son would put his father through all that pain? And in an earth-shattering interpretation, Harav Ben Nun explains that Yosef actually believed that his father was in on the brother's plan to sell him into slavery. So for 22 years, Yosef thought that his entire family, including his father, wanted him out of the picture. He thought to himself, hey, look at this. My father sends me to go check on my brothers and then they sell me into slavery. And this is right after my father had admonished me for my dreams. Yosef fully believed that his father wanted him gone. And Yosef accepted that tragic idea as the truth. And it was not until his brothers showed up to Egypt 22 years later that it became eminently clear to Yosef that the brothers had faked Yosef's death and that Yaakov indeed never wanted his beloved son gone. And so Yosef decides to reinvest in his relationship with his brothers. But this could not be done immediately. It couldn't be done unless he saw that the brothers had really and truly regretted what they had done. You cannot reestablish a relationship with somebody unless that other party is interested as well. And now, until they could prove that they had grown since selling the last son of Rachel into slavery, Yosef was going to test them by taking the next son of Rachel. Of course, we know Binyamin. He's going to try to take him into slavery and see what happens. And after all the dust settles, it's clear that the brothers have indeed changed their ways since selling Yosef. Earlier in the story, Yosef gets a glimpse, he gets a small inkling of all of this growth when he overheard a conversation between the brothers. And here is the text of that conversation. One brother said to the other, "Aval, surely, ashamim anachnu alachinu, we are to blame over what we did to our brother. We saw all that he was suffering. He was crying out to us. And we did not listen to his voice, his crying voice. And that's why we're suffering right now. The Torah hides this fact from you, the reader, because it doesn't want you to hate the brothers at the time of the sale. And it saves this idea till this very moment in the story. And it's heartbreaking. And Reuven responds, "Vayan Reuven otam lemor, halo amarti alechem lemor. Didn't I tell you guys? Al tehaitu bayeled velo shematem. I said, don't touch the kid, and you did not listen to me. Vegam damo hene nidrash. And now his blood is being asked for. In other words, we're getting our just deserts for what we did." Now, upon overhearing this, Yosef cannot hold in the overflowing emotions. And he goes into the other room and he sobs to himself. But this is not yet enough evidence. Yosef finally gets the evidence that he needs of his brother's growth when Yehuda says in this week's parasha, Yehuda says, "Ve'ata yeshev na'abdecha tachat hana'ad." He says, no. Take me instead of Binyamin. I want to be the slave instead of him. Eved la'adoni. Ve'ana'ad ya'ali mechav. And let him go free. And it's only at this stage, when Yosef sees the full growth of Yehuda, who is the mastermind behind his own sale. And it's only once Yosef sees that this man in particular had grown, along with all the other brothers, now Yosef is ready, not only to reinvest in his relationship with his family, but to let go of any ill will. Can you imagine that? To completely clean the slate, make it as though it never happened. As a character from another Mitch Albom novel states, quote, "Holding anger is a poison. It eats you from inside. We think that hating is a weapon that attacks the person who harmed us. But hatred is a curved blade. And the harm that we do to ourselves." And so, if you'd like to know what it means to be human, look no further than Yosef HaTzadik. Just like we learned from Maury Schwartz, who saw all the vanities of life peel away in the face of death, what mattered to Yosef was not the fame, it was not the fortune that came from being the viceroy of the most mighty empire of the ancient world, Egypt. But what mattered most to Yosef was the relationships of his life, the impact that he had on the lives of others, especially the lives of his family. And so the story of Yosef, like the story of Maury Schwartz, serves us as a piece of timeless wisdom about the art of living the most human lives that we possibly can. Make peace with one another. Love those around us despite their flaws. And never stop investing in relationships. Thank you very much and Shavua Tov.